You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Morning, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard, 2 hours with you. AWOD Radio takes over. Grant and Danny drive you home. Let's just start with this. I don't want to do a show about the plane crash, but obviously the junkies have been talking about it all morning. Tons of people have reached out to me, and so I just want to say... thank you. I appreciate that. I am from Wichita. Thankfully, I do not know anybody who, none of my loved ones, family, were on the plane crash. Doesn't make it any worse or any better what happened, because that's obviously a terrible tragedy, and we're keeping all those folks in our thoughts. But yeah, it hit home for me pretty hard, because I've been on that plane a bunch of times going to and from Wichita. That is how I get home and back. It's surreal. It's tough, and certainly our thoughts are with everybody going through that this morning. And I know the junkies gave a lot of updates. I don't think we're gonna do that during this show. We'll keep things sports focused. We'll do our thing. But I did want to say thank you to everybody who reached out on Twitter or texted me checking in. And I have thankfully no bad news to report, but I think we all count our blessings every time we see something like that, and we keep those folks in our thoughts. So that's the brief detour into plane land this morning, and certainly we'll keep you updated if anything happens there, as the junkies did during their show. We got plenty for you today. We got a pair of guests. We got Gary Hess coming in here in a bit. Party time has moved to Thursdays. Thursday is the new Friday, as we've so often said. So a little party time at 11 as he gets ready for season 2 of his podcast, Party Time, which you can hear right here on The Fan or on all your favorite podcast spots. But here's what I want to do today. Next week, we're in New Orleans. It's Bud Light Big Game Week, which, as you know, is one of my very favorite weeks of the year, and obviously will be next year. We've never done this before where the Commander season is very fresh. Usually we're down at the Super Bowl, and it's, here's the new hot thing. We traded for an Alex Smith. We hired this guy. We fixed the problem. That's usually what we're talking about. The season just ended a couple days ago, and I kind of want to live in the vibes right now. I kind of want to live in those vibes for another moment. And so let's play Dan Quinn here, talking about, you know, what this means for next year.
For me, I thought that was probably the difference between, like you've heard us say the word rebuild and recalibration. And we knew there were some excellent people here, and rebuild would have meant tear down. And that's not how we thought of this at all. And there were so many, you know, people that were here that, like, were absolutely all in. And so for us getting a chance to visit with, you know, somebody like Tress Way today, and to know how much he is in, like, you feel it. And those are, you know, some of the emotions I have for it. And the recalibration meant, like, everybody's bounced, the needle bounces around a little bit, but we found it. And we found who we are and our identity. And like I said, the floor has risen, but like, we're nowhere near where our ceiling's gonna be, and that fires me up.
That fires me up. Fires me up too. Dan Quinn, I don't think we're anywhere near where our ceiling is, That fires me up. That's really cool to hear. And I think we all know that and understand that. But it's cool to hear from inside, like inside the building. You know, we get our hopes up every year. We got our hopes up many of the Dan Snyder years. I did not get my hopes up in 100% of the Dan Snyder years, but I'm not going to lie. There are years you're at training camp and you're watching and they got a, you know, they got a Deshaun Jackson or they got a new fun toy and you say, okay, yeah, playoffs, I could see it. Hey, Kirk Cousins, this is the year he doesn't, you know, screw it up with the playoffs on the line. Yeah, sure, we could do that. This is different. This is a team that really genuinely has a chance to make the playoffs as long as number five's quarterback and stays healthy for an entire season. We've talked about the importance of quarterback play in the NFL. They've got one. And when Dan Quinn says we haven't found our ceiling yet, I don't think they've found their ceiling yet either. They've got the chance to surround Jaden with a lot more talent this offseason. They've got the salary cap money. They're not squeezed. They're not kicking the can down the road. This is a great opportunity. And what a cool thing for the coach to come out and say. Now, it's an easy thing to say in late January, right? And I don't doubt that when we get to training camp, when we have DQ on this show from training camp or wherever we have DQ on this show from, he'll say, oh, we're taking it one day at a time. We're hunkered in. We're not going to talk about expectations like that. We're going to try to go 1-0 each week. He'll get there. He will get there. But right now, off the afterglow of this season, he's feeling great. He says we haven't reached our ceiling. I agree with him. I don't think they've reached their ceiling. I think the future is super bright for these guys, and that's a moment I want to live in for a little while longer. These guys beat the Detroit Lions, the one seed, on the road. These guys went into Tampa against a team that has playoff experience, stared them down, kicked the field goal, walked it off to win a playoff game on the road. First time in forever they'd won a playoff game. Go to Detroit, win another one. I don't want to just turn the page too quickly. I don't mind living in that for the rest of this week. And you get to next week, we're going to be talking Super Bowl, which is, of course, appropriate and what we'll do. But then after that, right, like when we get back from the Super Bowl, there's a lot more like, it's basketball season, NBA wants 10-minute quarters, you know, off-season moves, the combine, the free agency. So I don't mind living in that afterglow optimism for a little while longer because it's a nice feeling. One guy who is not living in that is Adam Peters. Adam Peters is sitting next to Dan Quinn at that podium. He was asked about his off-season approach here. You got a lot of money to spend. You got a lot going on. Here's what Adam Peters had to say.
Yeah, I think something that when we talked with a lot of the guys today really resonated with, I think, both of us, and that's you know, bringing in the right people and bringing in guys who we see as commanders. And so I think if we're going to take away a lesson, I think that would probably be the biggest one, is getting the guys that are commanders, that are competitors, that love ball, love each other, and will play for each other. And we had a bunch of those guys on this team, and they liked playing for each other, and they all said that today, and it was really a cool thing to hear, and so that's what we'll look for.
He said absolutely nothing there. I love it. I love that guy. DQ's job is to fire me up. We haven't seen the ceiling. That gets me going. He's fired up. I'm fired up. Adam Peters' job is to keep his nose to the grindstone, bring in great players. The key is, Stubb, you got to bring in players who are commanders. That's the key this offseason. If you bring in Jaguars, it's not going to work.
No.
Got to bring in commanders.
Don't want to bring in Titans.
No, got to bring in commanders. Inherently, they become commanders when they get in the system. I know what he means, of course. You got to bring in commanders this offseason. Need to fill out that roster. Need to put guys in the helmets. Put them in the script W. Do the thing. That's a whole lot of words to say absolutely nothing. That guy can say nothing for as long as he likes. He was cooking last offseason at the thrift store. He found some nice things at the Dollar Tree. Came back. Got this team to the NFC title game. I'm sending him shopping at Bloomingdale's this offseason. Got $100 million. go buy yourself some Commanders. Get something nice. I'm excited to see what he does with time, with resources, most importantly, with buzz. There's a ton of buzz around this team. People want to be here, and there are not enough free agents to go around. There's two ways to get them: overpay, or provide the place they want to be. For so long, that was New England. Obviously, Kansas City is a place people want to go because they can play with a star, win a ring. This isn't KC yet, but this is a place that's on the rise, and I think that's one of the really exciting things about this franchise at this moment. I don't think it's been that way in decades. Certainly not in the time I've been covering the team. And that is really, really cool. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get back. Gary Hess joins us for a little fun. This is 910 The Fan, now at 105.1.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
On the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, turning the page, counting you down, VCU Richmond. It is the Capital City Classic. It is Saturday, 4 o'clock. You will hear it right here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. It is, for reasons that Gary Hess and I addressed as stupid, way more important than the St. Louis game. You have a good road loss, doesn't matter. You can still go to the tournament. You have a bad home loss, you can't go to the tournament. You lose to a Norfolk State. Yeah, that's what happened last year. All of a sudden, they're done. They lost to Norfolk State at home. Richmond's that team this year. I hate that there's no consideration given that it's a rivalry game, because I think that should matter. I think humans should be involved in this process in a better and more coherent way than they are now. That is my hot take this morning. Look out. I'm on fire. We're still living in the Commanders moment for two more days. Next week is Bud Light Big Game Week. Fired up for that. Live shows from New Orleans Tuesday through Friday. We'll have a lot of special guests, a lot of fun. So that'll be great. Then after that, the Super Bowl's over. Then we're moving on. So this is kind of the last moment to really live in that, you know, that joy of beating expectations and making the NFC title game. I have a little bit more for you from Adam Peters, who chatted yesterday with reporters up in D.C. First, though, here is the end of the game. Here's London and Bram doing the call, wrapping things up. This is the bow they put on the season.
How about just all the bold fourth down conversions by head coach Dan Quinn all year? They were number one in the NFL in fourth down conversions. They called it bold, not reckless. They did it throughout the playoffs. I've got memories of a lifetime of ones that they've done in this playoff run. They had a number of them today, including a fake punt. I mean, they've had the magic touch on that, and five is a big part of that too, which is another reason why I'm just so bullish about the future. I know what we have in this quarterback. We haven't had somebody like this in a generation.
No, not at all. And you know, they'll look at this and say, okay, what areas do we really need to improve? Because this is, they have tell the truth Mondays, but they also have tell the truth in the offseason evaluation. What are the areas that we truly need to upgrade from a talent standpoint, and whether it's and it may even be just elevate from a depth standpoint as well. I tell you what, we talked about Zach Ertz coming here and wanting to prove that he still has some stuff in the tank and he's still that guy. There's no mistaking, based on what he showed today, really in the red zone throughout the season, that he's a guy you want to re-sign, bring him back. And there'll be some other guys, a lot of guys on one-year contracts that you want to re-sign and bring back. But there'll also be some situations, opportunities to go out in the free agent market and continue to upgrade on this roster.
That's exactly spot on. How do you upgrade, but also how do you retain? Because I think we'd all agree two of the most important parts of this year's team were Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner, two veteran guys whose presence I think Bobby Wagner in particular. I saw our guy Nell, Linnell Willingham, up in D.C. You got to move on from Bobby Wagner. He didn't give you enough production. Maybe. We can sit in front of a whiteboard and draw up X's and O's, but everybody in that locker room said when we were in the losing streak, that's the guy who got our heads right. That's the guy who stabilized this ship. Is that of value? Yeah. That's of immense value, of course. Zach Ertz's performance was on the field, and he took some hits this year. He got concussed this year. He's going to have to evaluate. He said, I'm in. I want to play another year. He didn't say here. He wants to play another year. I'll be curious where he lands. Those are both guys that you want to prioritize, keeping them around in some context because of the intangibles they brought to the table. And with Bobby Wagner, it's not just defense either. Him and Jaden struck up a very nice friendship that I think helped out number five as he weathered that losing stretch and as he became a star and somebody people were calling. So few people in the world know what that's like, that you got to cling to those people when they're in your corner and you're helping you out. So few people know what it's like this offseason to be Jaden Daniels. He'll be down there in New Orleans. He's going to get the awards. He's going to have commercial opportunities. He's not going to be able to go out to dinner like he used to. It's different. Life's different for him now. Training's different for him now. The way other teams approach Commanders Week is different forever now. It's a little bit like being VCU basketball. Everywhere you go, oh, who are we playing today? VCU. I'm fired up. Got to go to this game. You know, players a little extra pep in their step. Playing VCU, man. Be cool to beat VCU. That's these guys now. Who are we playing this week? Jaden Daniels. Oh, man. Jaden Daniels. He's the man. Got to get after Jaden Daniels. So to have that, those opportunities and those mentors. I've told this story a million times before, but I think it bears repeating to illustrate where we are in the process and why this is different than the past. Doug Williams reached out to RG3 multiple times in that rookie year, like, hey, let's get lunch. Let's be friends. You know, I can speak to what you're going through. And Robert didn't take the calls, basically. Didn't take him up on that offer. Didn't strike up a friendship. I think that's what's different. That's what's illustrative here. Jaden Daniels has that guy in the building as well and is leaning on him. I think that's optimism for the future. Cliff Kingsbury's back. London didn't mention that because I think the people inside the building knew when he didn't get the Bears job or a serious look at the Bears job, that was the one that they were going to potentially lose him to. So you get another year, Cliff Kingsbury. Adam Peters, very realistic, though, when he was asked about it. Here's what the Commanders GM had to say about Cliff Kingsbury.
You know, I'll speak on the first part. I thought he did a fantastic job, and I thought he really he led well. He had great energy. He listened. He was, obviously the performance was outstanding. He's a great play caller, but I think just really being able to, I've known Cliff since I was 23, and so I've known him a long time. I never worked next to him, and just to see how hard of a worker he is and how tireless he is. He's here, 3 a.m. I think. I didn't beat him in once. Tried to, couldn't do it. And how much he cares about this team and the guys in that room was really, really special to see. And I'm sure his time's coming soon.
That's a reality. And I like that this is a reality-based environment here. His time's coming soon. If he has success next year, he's going to be at the top of everybody's list. He's going to get opportunities. I'd remind you, Brian Schottenheimer got hired as a head coach in this cycle. Cliff Kingsbury's getting a job at some point. There's just too much buzz there. He's now coached, three of this year's playoff quarterbacks, Mahomes, Mayfield, and Jaden Daniels. That's the stuff that gets you a buzz. And, of course, worked with Caleb Williams as well at USC. He knows his way around a quarterback room. It's not a surprise at all that he'd get looks, he'd get interviews. And that's part of why the urgency is there next season to take advantage of this when you are. Adam Peters, I mentioned in our first segment, said a lot of nothing, kept his cards close to the vest. This isn't Dallas. This isn't Jerry Jones saying we're all in. This isn't Philly. This isn't saying, like, these are the three positions we need to tweak this and get back to the Super Bowl. This is a very open slate. Who should they draft? What position should they draft? Where should they target? I've been on a lot of shows. People ask, what's the position you'd spend the most on or use that first round draft pick on? I think you can justify a whole lot of them. You need a corner. You need a wide receiver. You might need a linebacker. And you definitely need offensive line depth. You take any of those things in the first round, I'm not unhappy. By the way, I haven't even thrown tight end into that pile. It's a premium position in the NFL right now. If they want to get a tight end in the first round that they feel good about, I'll sign on that dotted line. That is an important, important position. You saw the importance of that with Zach Ertz. John Bates is not the long-term solution there because his pass catching isn't quite there. He provided a nice blocking presence. You know, they're working on developing guys. But if you want to go get an absolute stud guy, I'm on board with that. One more from Adam Peters before we close the book on Commanders offseason. I think this acknowledgement is nice here. He's basically asked, like, hey, you going to go spend a lot of money? And true to Adam Peters' form, he did not commit to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, every year's different, you know, and every team's different. And so this is where we ended up this year, but every team starts again at the bottom. And so, you know, once this season's over, we're 0-0, and every single day we're just going to have to try to get better. And I know it's a boring answer, but it really is just we're going to look at every single day as getting better each day and doing what's best for the team and trying to get back up.
Don't worry about it. They've heard that message before. They're okay.
That's the cue at the end. Yeah. Be as boring as you want to be, man. Both sides get me fired up. Adam Peters got me fired up being so boring and not showing his cards at all. You know he's cooking something. You know he's not tipping his hand on that. DQ saying they haven't found the ceiling yet. That gets me fired up, too, hearing that from the head coach, a guy who's been in the trenches, watched more film of this team than anybody else all year, except for maybe Cliff Kingsbury or Joe Witt. That we haven't found the ceiling yet. And that's the truth. And now it's about finding that ceiling. It's about seeing how high they can go. Detroit, arguably a better team this year than they were last year. Didn't make it as far in the playoffs. It's never a guarantee. But I think this will be the most anticipated regular season in some time. And as long as you got number five, I think Adam Peters will be able to do what he needs to do, his cooking. We roll along. It is the Thursday program, MP on the mic. Parney joins us at 11 for a little happy hour with Parney. Season 2 of Parney Time coming soon to the Fan. We'll talk about that, get you ready for everything else in the world of sports this weekend. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app, and we always love welcoming in our guy, sports director, 910 The Fan, Gary Hess.
How you doing, man?
I love that you were talking about AI in here. Gary's like, I loved Allen Iverson.
It means yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the way it should be.
It's just the first thing. Everybody talks about AI, and I was like, what does Allen Iverson have to do with it?
Who
you know, it's like, here's AI's interpretation of this. We're talking about practice. Not a game.
Yeah. We're not talking about the system. We're talking about the system.
That's right.
AI, who could have been in the NFL if he wanted to be as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting because I saw a feature once that was done. I don't know if it was NFL Films or whatever about the Peninsula quarterbacks. And of course, you know, if you're going to talk about Peninsula quarterbacks over the years, who else would you talk to but the legendary David Teal?
Of course,
and of course, and some of the coaches. But they talked about, you know, Aaron Brooks and Michael Vick and Ronald Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know, the hidden gem that nobody knows is that, you know, Allen Iverson was probably better than all of them. So,
I mean, yeah. So just incredible, the athletic talent.
Famous
level
story
there.
About Iverson in the 91 state semifinals. Bethel is playing Huguenot. And Huguenot's up. I don't want to. I could be wrong about the salient facts of the score. I think it was 13-6 or 13-0 at halftime. Huguenot was up, and Iverson allegedly just went to Coach Kozlowski, who's in the VHS Hall of Fame now, and just said, "Dude, just get it by out of the way. Just let me handle it." And four touchdowns in the second half later, you know, Bethel was moving on to the state championship.
That's good coaching. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. That's good coaching. Allen Iverson says, "Get me the ball." Good coaching is getting him the ball.
Give him the ball.
What he said. That's what he said. That was always in the LeBron era, there was always that thing like, the coach isn't actually the coach. LeBron is actually the coach. That's good coaching. Yes.
If LeBron wants to feel like he's the coach, it's okay with me.
I don't care what anybody says. That's good coaching.
It might have helped Phil Jackson get in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Our guy Kent dropped by just now and dropped off some ice cream.
Yeah, here. I got one too.
You got an ice cream too?
Yes.
Bluebell ice cream. Saturday is Eat Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. National Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. I say why pick one day.
That's right.
Strawberry toaster pastry. So we'll dive in on this once we're done making radio.
It's worth a try.
Okay, there you go. Speaking of talent, I told you I'm going to see John Marshall on Saturday playing Woodside.
Right.
Two-time defending Class 5 state champ. After, I'm doing a basketball palooza. VCU-UR, of course. Here's what I hate about VCU-UR. I love VCU-UR. The way the computers work, the way the AI works... Allen Iverson's back there putting in the data. If VCU loses to Richmond at the Siegel Center, that's treated as like a disqualifying loss for tournament purposes. But it's not. It's a rivalry game, and things happen in rivalry games.
I agree with you 100%. You know, they say you can throw out the record books, and anybody wanting that game to be competitive is probably glad you can do that.
Chris Mooney says, we can do that?
Yes. Exactly. Sign me up. I'm just not a fan of, it's like I was watching a little bit. Okay, just forgive me for my no life status, but I was watching a little bit of the it was an ACC game, and it was last night, and it was between two teams that are lesser known in the ACC.
It wasn't UVA Miami.
It was not.
Okay.
It was watching UVA and Tech is nothing I would ever have to apologize for. That's research. It was Cal playing
SMU.
SMU.
A classic ACC rivalry. I don't know how you could forget that. You talk to your kids and your grandkids about those
and
Cal
started,
SMU throwdowns.
But the whole point of the game was not the point. The point is all that talk about quad one, quad two.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah. We if the SEC gets 13 teams in, I mean, that's grounds for reconsidering this whole thing, right?
And if 13 teams get in, that means teams that are well below 500 in the conference are getting in.
They'll have to. There's no way.
And if you get in, if you play 16 conference games and you're 7-9 in a really tough league, that's one thing. But if somebody that goes 5-11 and their net ranking is really good, but they're 5-11 in conference,
yeah.
I'm sorry, just stop it.
You need to rebalance the conferences, is what that tells me.
Right.
Yeah, there's options here. Archie Miller, coach at Rhode Island.
Okay.
So earlier this week, one of the national podcast basketball guys posted sarcastically, the alleged SEC, the greatest league of all time according to ESPN. Is only 500 in all games since January 4th, which, of course, they've all been conference games.
Right.
One winner, one loser. Archie Miller at his press conference was asked if the A-10 is a two-bid league, and he's just talking blah, blah, blah. He's pumping up the A-10. Somebody shared with me the other day this stat that the SEC is actually only 500 in January. Oh, no, Archie, no! No, don't take the bait!
It's factually correct.
It's factually correct. Checks out.
I remember when he played at NC State.
There's, the A-10 has star power way beyond its reach. Woj, Archie, it had the LeBron connection, Duquesne for a minute. A-10's always brought a little star power to the table.
Yeah, they have. And, just a few years ago, Danny Hurley was in the A-10.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great, yeah. There's, you got Loyola with Sister Jean. I mean, all sorts of famous. You never see a fight in the stands at Loyola.
No.
No.
Sister Jean won't put up with
no,
that.
No, she wrap you on the knuckles with the ruler. I went to Catholic school. I know how this works.
That's right. Just like the penguin in the Blues Brothers movie.
That was an insane fight.
It really was.
Here's what, one, it was insane, but two, nobody did anything about it for, 4 minutes.
It's like a hockey fight. Just let them work it out.
It was not. This was not RMC events here. Jumping in and settling things down. Our guy Dan Schmidt was not on the scene.
Right
there. It's like people are fighting. Let's pump some music, shine a spotlight, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Oh, Everybody to your benches. Let's just wait and see.
It's 5 minutes for fighting. We'll continue
right.
to play on.
Right. How many goals can you score during that five-minute power play?
Never.
A power play would have been great. It's like, I'm sorry, the home fans are fighting. You're going to have to play 5-on-4 for 5 minutes.
I'd love a little penalty box action. Sure, absolutely.
Yes.
There have been some players back in the day who have been, you know, like making
it's like
it a
you
five
can take 2 minutes in the penalty box and you get your foul back. Like if it's
your fourth foul
or your fifth foul,
you can have the free throws or a minute shorthanded.
Exactly.
Okay. Now we're talking. I like it now. Gary Hess innovating. That's what we enjoy about this segment.
Yeah.
UVA finally got the win against Miami. What a brutal season there.
I'll tell you what. I watched a little bit of that game, and I saw Miami play this past weekend too. Matthew Cleveland is really good.
Okay.
And he was the show last night for them. They are awful. I mean, they are beyond awful after him.
But they're so bad the coach left in the middle of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, you know, and the other coach is like, it's not my team. Y'all go play.
I don't feel for the Miami coach. I feel a little for Ron Sanchez.
But you look at where we all know where UVA's been this year.
Yes.
And what UVA is.
Yes.
UVA goes to Miami without two of its starters.
Yeah.
And wins by, was it double digits?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, and won by double digits.
That's why I feel for Ron Sanchez, who by all accounts is a good dude.
Tate Murray made 4 threes, scored 20 points.
That's how you win.
Maybe.
Yeah. I just.
He should be starting.
Because Ron Sanchez is not going to be the coach next year.
We all know that.
Yeah.
He knows that.
He knows that, too. But I think he's working hard. I think he's trying. I don't think he's phoning it in.
Nope.
I think he's grinding every night.
No, I think the whole coaching staff is grinding because that's all they know to do.
What I know is this. Carla Williams is the AD over there. And if you have a marquee successful program, you get to keep your job forever. Those are the rules. She had Tony Bennett insurance for years. You know, wow, that football team stinks. Nobody's here. We won a natty. Like, get over yourselves.
Right.
She lost her Tony Bennett insurance. This is a big moment for her.
And you know, it's interesting because I noticed Tony Bennett left, and she's like, I better play that Tony Bennett insurance card one last time. Give me a 5-year contract extension and a raise.
Yes! What are we doing? I'm going to need to see some things.
Right.
I'm going to need to see a good high. And in college basketball.
Because right now, I mean, she's hanging her hat on what? Tony Elliott?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the women's basketball team, which should be good, hasn't been good for a while. In the ACC, in the transfer portal era, I think it's fair to say she should pick a coach who gets some good within a year or two. Like, it just feels like not an unfair expectation.
I was talking to Awad yesterday, and I was like, UVA fans should just watch what's happening at Louisville.
Yeah.
Because Louisville's been awful the last 2 years.
Yeah.
New coach comes in, a whole new group of players, and they're tied for second in the league. They're in the top 25. They're going to the tournament. They look like a team that could be dangerous in the tournament.
St. Louis. Nailed it. Travis Ford leaves. That was a bad hire. What do? You go get a young rising star coach who brings a star player with him. Boom. St. Louis is going to be in the conversation when we get to picking time in the A-10. That's how the expectations are high. I don't think they're unjustly high, though, especially with a place that has resources like that.
Right.
And what are her successes? What can you point to as, like, you nailed this?
It's like baseball. Oh, no, wait. Brian O'Connor was already there.
Yeah. Swimming? No. They've been a swimming dynasty forever, too.
Forever.
I don't think swimming dynasty gets to save your job.
But it does not.
It's nice to be a dynasty, though, for sure. Good to have a swimming dynasty.
This has nothing to do with Carla Williams.
It'll fit in nicely.
Have you seen that UVA's baseball team is consensus top five in the nation in the preseason polls, which is higher than they've been ranked the last few years going in?
Yeah, I don't even want to say they had a lull. They've made trips to Omaha during that lull.
Right.
But in terms of that national, like, watch out for these guys, it hasn't been there.
Right. I mean, they're the highest ranked team in the ACC, which means in the preseason poll they'll probably pick to win. They usually pick third or fourth.
Yeah.
And the ACC rivals the SEC for the deepest baseball league.
For now. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, the basketball thing's going to happen in baseball. It's going to happen in women's basketball. What was the SEC money distribution this year? $80 million?
Right.
The ACC's 33? It's like, good coaching overcomes a lot. The Tampa Bay Rays have made the playoffs, you know, you Moneyball, etc. You start $50 million in the hole every year. I get it. It's tough to compete out there. It's not easy. URVCU, Saturday on the Fan, 4 o'clock. Any thoughts on that one before we bounce, or any thoughts on life in general?
It's always great when Richmond and VCU play. I'm going to be interested to see if you truly can throw the record books out.
Yeah.
Because this Richmond team at times is very difficult to watch. And, you know, Seth Greenberg once said, he used to talk about it all the time when he was at Virginia Tech, and I've heard him say it on ESPN too. He said, you know, there are a lot of factors in basketball, but in the end, basketball's a make-and-miss game. And that is Richmond's hope, because VCU goes through stretches where the ball doesn't go in the basket.
5 for 31 the other night in St. Louis.
And so if that happens, Richmond's got a chance. If VCU makes shots, then I don't see Richmond having much of a chance.
It's a simple game sometimes.
It's expert analysis there, right?
You know. Yeah, Gary Hess breaking it down for us. You hear the game right here on The Fan, Saturday, 4 o'clock. Gary, always appreciate the fun.
Always great. Good to see Stubb as well.
Yeah, Stubb filling in today. Love that. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Hey, if you miss anything, grab the podcast, MP on the Mic, available Apple, Google, all the places. Are there more than Apple and Google? I don't know. But if there are, you can find us there. Anywhere you get your podcast, MP on the Mic. And we'll be at Bud Light Big Game Week next week. Fired up for that. Live shows from New Orleans, Tuesday through Friday. Adam just handed off the Fan tablecloth to me. So it's getting real. This is the one time all year. So I was a newspaper guy forever. You know, when you're a newspaper guy and you go somewhere, you grab your backpack. It's got like a pencil, a pen, and a laptop in it, and you go. I'm a radio guy now. You got to bring the headsets and the banners and the equipment, the things. This is the one time a year I check a bag at the airport. I hate checking a bag at the airport. That's a full no for me. But this is the one time a year we do it, which we will do it. A little spooky flying out of Reagan on Monday, of course, in light of everything happening there. And, you know, still seeing the news, seeing those people come out, and doubly hitting home for me, being from Wichita and, of course, knowing all those places. Thankfully, nobody in my orbit impacted by that, but certainly our thoughts go out to everybody who's sorting through that, and everybody who's in the air and flying today. It's got to be a hair-raising experience up there to be a pilot today after a daylight after something like that happens. So that's the airplane situation. This is the radio situation. We'll make it down to New Orleans. We'll do Bud Light Big Game Week next week. Chiefs and the Eagles on Sunday, but our programming all week long. They actually just emailed me. They offered us a soccer guest for next week. I always flip these to AWOD. This was the most controversial miss of Bud Light Big Game Week last week. I just flipped Adam an email about a soccer guy they offered. Last year, is it Kate Abdo? Was that her name? Yeah, I'm getting the nod. Everybody clowned on me for not knowing who that was. What can I say? I'm not a soccer guy. I'll get there. I don't dislike soccer. I love the passion. Really an A-10 Chaffetz Arena level of passion every night in the Premier League. You know, they aspire to that, of course. They aspire to the Chaffetz Arena level of passion. Ryan Odom did his press conference a little while ago, said he's not talking about the fight. I respect that. I'm talking about the fight.
Talk about it a little bit.
I'm talking about
Give
the fight.
Give a little mention.
I'm not the VCU basketball coach. I'm talking about the fight. You've got Richmond at home this weekend. Nothing's going to happen this weekend. Obviously, the RMC events team's on top of it. To me, the fact that it happened in somebody else's arena, talk about it. It happened.
It's not your fault. It's not your culture.
VCU makes the national news twice ever. The first is when they make the tournament. You make March Madness, and that happens. The second is when something like this happened. You're sized for this guy? Is that what's going on? You want to give Hideo's mic here?
This is a great interview opportunity.
This is a guy everybody knows.
This is a guy.
All right, we won't say the name
because
we're not confirmed here, obviously. Yeah. But everybody knows.
If you watched the World Cup when Germany won it all,
okay,
you know who I'm talking about. If you saw him play for, I believe it was Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. I mean, all over Europe. This guy's a legit star. You have to be a soccer fan to know who he is. He's not, you know, Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
But he is one of the best defensive midfielders in the past 20 years.
All right. See if we can get Pele. I'd like to talk to Pele. Is Pele alive?
I hope so.
That's a margin. Yeah, he's borderline. In celebrity alive or dead, Pele's probably a good one to put on the board.
He died 2 years ago.
Yeah. That was a minute ago that Pele was popular. There's a transcendent soccer star in every era. Unfortunately, my era got stuck with Alexi Lalas. So that's, I think that explains a little bit of where I'm at here as a soccer. World Cup's coming next year, though. I will get excited for the World Cup. I'll tell you what I want to do. Full honesty, I want to go down to Mexico to watch a World Cup game. That's my bucket list for next year. I want to go to Mexico and watch a World Cup game. Because that's Chaffetz Arena levels of passion right there. They're going to be getting after it down there in Mexico. Worldwide sporting sensations. The NBA is growing its footprint worldwide, but it is struggling to get traction in America right now. Adam Silver threw out a bold new plan yesterday. Stump, play the clip here. Adam Silver, NBA commissioner. Here's what he thinks.
What do you think and what do you make of Cliff Kingsbury deciding?
Something else that I'm a fan of, and I'm probably in a minority, as we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball is 2 hours. But it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about over time.
4 10-minute quarters in the NBA, which is funny because that's the college discussion every year, too. You know, in baseball, like they do stuff in AAA and then it shows up in the major leagues a couple of years later. It felt like we were all kind of moving towards the quarters there. I think the G League did the quarters. Women's basketball went to the quarters. I think everybody assumed men's basketball would go to the quarters. They never did. They're still doing halves. I don't think there's an upside or a downside either way. I kind of like the quarters because you get 4 end-of-clock opportunities. Love a good end-of-clock strategic decision. You find out who can manage the clock or not. I don't think it's the end of the world either way. Resets the fouls. People like resetting the fouls. 4 10-minute quarters in the NBA, of course, has way bigger implications because it shaves 8 minutes off the game. I don't know. One thing I don't buy is it's harder to play in the NBA now than it used to be, and that's why these guys need nights off. Load management. I don't think so. I think that the science on that probably says it's a little bit like this thing with the baseball pitchers. The baseball pitchers need every 5th day instead of every 4th day, and now they need 80 pitches instead of 100 pitches. Is it harder, like, mentally? Probably. There's more data going into it. Is it necessary? I've still never been sold on that. You know, you see guys go on these runs. I don't doubt that the more baseball you play, the more dangerous it is to your arm. I don't doubt that the more basketball you play, the more worn down you get. I just think the game inherently was very physical in the 90s. It's hard to sell me that, like, it's somehow more strenuous today. I think they got more protections. Like being an NFL quarterback today. Hey, we got to play 18 games. You don't have to play 18 games. They keep you standing up. Like, the offensive linemen got to play 18 games. That's rough on them. Not for the quarterbacks, though. Quarterbacks back in the day, their heads were bouncing off the Astrodome turf like a basketball. Like that, it is way safer to be a quarterback now than it was then. Injuries happen. It's football. But if that gets the stars in more games and more game time, I'm for it. If I watch the NBA, I want to see the stars playing against each other at full speed, full go. If this is a way there, great. If this is just going to be the next evolution and then guys are going to play 35 minutes instead of 40, count me out on that. That's not a thing I'm interested in. We'll talk to our guy Parney. Speaking of minor league baseball, they announced Dennis Pelfrey will come back as the manager of the Squirrels next year. We love Pelf. He's one of our favorite guests on the show, so it'll be fun to get more opportunities to chat with him. Parney Time, the podcast, of course, entering season two. We'll talk about that. And we'll live in this Commanders season space a little bit longer, clinging to this for two more days, this NFC title game appearance. All that on the other side Thursday morning. You're listening to 910 The Fan now at 105. Happy on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Pleased to share the station with our next guest, Parney Time Season 2, coming soon to a podcast near you. You know him, of course, as Parney. What's up?
MP on the mic. What's shaking today, buddy? It's Thursday is the new Friday, listeners. Friday was the Parney Time happy hour. We're doing Tequila Tuesday. What is it? Tequila Thursday. What day is that? Tito's Thursday.
Tito's Thursday with Parney. We'll get it sponsored. We'll figure this out.
Come on, Purcell. Do something.
Purcell, I need the Tito's deal. Need it coming through. Need some samples here. They brought us ice cream today to sample.
And remember, everybody, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
No better time to start than right now while you enjoy Parney and MP doing our thing. Here's what I want to lead off with. Pelf's coming back. Announced this week, Dennis Pelfrey's coming back. I love that dude.
Yeah, Pelf's a special guy, right? And I saw Laner, CBS 6, Laner Cassadani, had the story, and the graphic said back for fourth season. And it's one of those deals with our relationship with Pelf. Like, it doesn't seem like he's been here four seasons, but I also don't remember what life was like without him, right? I mean, he's one of the very few managers in my entire 39, 36 years, whatever it is, of minor league baseball. A lot of great managers, a lot of great people. Haven't really ever had a bad relationship with any one of them. But Pelf has it all. Like, he knows what Ben Rothrock in the front office need to do off the field. You know, he knows when Anthony Opperman needs him to do something, or Ben Terry has a sponsor or whatever, right? Trey Wilson has a media request. Blaine McCormick needs something for the radio broadcast. He gets all that. And he understands the front office like no other. And then the second thing I'll say about him, a lot of times in minor league baseball, MP, managers of minor league teams care most about the prospects that the major league general manager cares about, or they care about the people, you know, the top five or six players, and that's it. If you're a Richmond Flying Squirrel and you shower in that locker room and you put on a uniform in that locker room, Dennis Pelfrey's going to have a plan for you. He's going to care for you, and he's going to make you a better player in person when you're in Richmond with the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Not many minor league managers do that. And then thirdly, he wants to win. I gave him a bottle of champagne his first year and said, when you win the championship, we're going to spray this and drink this. He's kept that bottle of champagne. And I almost cracked it open the first year he made the playoffs. And he said, you didn't pop that bottle you gave me, did you? And I said, no. He goes, good. That's for when we win the championship. So he still has that. He wants to win. He'll become the winningest manager in Squirrels history early in the season, I think. I'm sure Trey and Blaine already had that figured out. So that's a long-winded answer that probably took up the entire damn segment. I'm excited about Pelf coming back.
We'll just steal Awad's time. Don't worry about it. I'm sure he won't mind. Parney joins us. I'm excited for Pelf coming back too. And, you know, I want to enjoy it while he's here, because I got the feeling this guy, it isn't, his ceiling's not double A, Parney.
Oh, it's not. He's going to be a big league coach at least, and perhaps even a big league manager. I mean, the only thing that could hold him back, very frankly, is he speaks his mind, and he doesn't kiss people's rhymes with bass. So I said rhymes with bass, okay?
we didn't bleep you. We're good. We didn't go for the dump button. You played it. You're not on podcast world anymore.
I know. Poor Wyatt. He has to clean our podcast up for the weekend radio show. It takes him a long time. but I think, you know, he doesn't cowtail to the major league brass, and a lot of the managers do in order to do their career, make their career go forward. He doesn't do that. He tells them the truth, and if he disagrees with them, he disagrees with them. But I do think he's going to be in the big leagues. He told me the other day when we talked, and we still talk quite a bit, because he was asking me about CarMax Park, and you know, one of the things Ben Rothrock and I were talking about the last 2 days in the office. There's a lot of people in this town that still think we haven't started construction, right? And drive by there, MP. Like, it looks like a building already.
I was there last Friday, yeah.
I mean, it looks amazing, right? And I just got off of the phone with Carney Bragg and Nick from the architecture company, Labella. So, anyway, I think that there's a lot going on with that people don't even realize. And Pell said to me, I said, well, you're never going to manage there because you'll be gone next year in 2026. And he goes, if I'm not in the big leagues, I want to be in Richmond. And he said that after his first year, and he believes that. And, hey, man, there's going to be a lot of minor league managers that want to manage at CarMax Park.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, it's going to be a scene. We were down there. We were at River City Roll doing our Commanders pep rally, sending people off to Philly. It's fun to drive by there. I'm not a regular. I'm a Southside guy, so I'm not a regular driving by there, but it is coming along nicely, and I know everybody over there is really excited about what that means. And, of course, before that, 40th anniversary at the Diamond, of course, remind everybody, get your tickets. John Smoltz is the opening night guest.
Yeah, and that's sneaking up on us. We're under 69 days.
Nice.
I don't know.
Finally, some baseball weather, too, this week.
Yeah, I was really getting grumpy about the cold. Even down at the beach, it's been pretty bad. But yeah, this is the time of year. Like, a lot of people start thinking about Valentine's Day. And, you know, I've always thought it's hilarious that a lot of teams have their pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's Day. So people, like the husbands and boyfriends that are and wives and girlfriends that are baseball fans, are like, I'm so excited about today. Oh yes, Valentine's Day. No, dude, it's pitchers and catchers report day. That's why I'm excited. And you know, my phone's been ringing a lot from players that are Squirrels players that are free agents that are looking for jobs and contacts with farm directors. Brandon Martirano just called me 3 days ago. He signed with the Texas Rangers, so we're happy for that. Marty's one of our favorite Squirrels of all time. I talked to Matt Frisbee yesterday, who's been with the Squirrels parts of 4 years. Frankie Tostado, who might be one of the top three most popular Squirrels players of all time with our fans. I mean, he had his own Tostado crew when he was here. You know, he's still looking for an affiliated job for next year. And this next one, I'll tell you, that's looking for a job still. I think he's the best all-around player in Squirrels history, is my opinion.
Ooh.
Shane Matheny hasn't signed with anybody yet for next year. So I'm really, really, really surprised at that. I think Shaner, pound for pound, is the best puncher in the business that's played with the Squirrels. So it's really fun in time of the year. You know, people wake up from their winter slumber. You're right. It is. I've already had my outdoor workout today. I've been able to go outside in the morning for a long time, so it was nice to be out there at 6:30 a.m. today. So, and you know, the Squirrels are getting everything. I mean, I was over there. I'm headed there in a little bit just for a quick meeting, but because it's beach travel day, as you know.
Yeah, I do know that. You mentioned players. Now, we hope he just starts every game with the big league club and wins a Cy Young, but maybe a little Justin Verlander rehab start if he needs one along the way next year, too. Wouldn't turn it down, Parney.
You know, how great would that be for him, even?
And I
know it would be great for Richard and Kathy, who are two of the greatest people in the world. And Richard texted me the day after he signed. He's like, "What do you think, Justin, with the Giants?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, let's get on the PJ and go out to San Francisco and watch him pitch." So I don't think we talk about Justin Verlander in Richmond enough. You know, I mean, I, I, he's
she's going to be our second Hall of Famer someday.
He's a de facto top five Richmond athlete all time, full stop, period. By the way,
let's have that conversation sometime.
Because I would
be so curious who your five top athletes in Richmond, Virginia history are. Willie Lanier's in there, right?
Of course. We did this at the newspaper, and it tore the room apart, Parney. And not because of what you think. Like, it wasn't like Denny Hamlin, yes or no. Like, I'll tell you who tore the room apart. Secretariat. Is Secretariat one of the top five all-time athletes in Richmond history?
Probably the all-time best athlete in Richmond history.
There you go. That's half the room said Secretariat is the number one athlete in the history of the Richmond region. We cannot print a list in the newspaper that says it any differently. And half the room said it's a horse. And it tore the room apart, Parney.
Yeah, I love it. Well, one of our segments on Thursdays, let's do that, because I've been on this local sports thing, and I've vented to you a bunch about how people should pay more attention to local sports. Billy Wags got in, baby.
And so happy.
And we, you know, we talked a little bit about that last week, but I think people should talk about that more. But when Justin Verlander goes into the Hall someday, he'll be the second person born in Richmond. Now, I'm using Richmond loosely,
yeah,
because he was born in the counties.
No, we're counting him.
That will be in the Hall of Fame. The first is Ray Dandridge. And then certainly Billy Wagner is a Virginian that will be in the Hall of Fame. And that's not a long list, right?
It's very, very impressive. And I agree. Billy Wagner, we love him. Different category. He's a Virginian, not a Richmonder. But I think Verlander is a Richmonder. Thursday's already the new Friday. We've already got a topic to cover. This is the first appearance here in a long time, Barney, where we're not making any picks today, unless you want to pick the Pro Bowl because you're a true degenerate. But one, we'll remind everybody, 1-1 last week. You got the Eagles. You went with the Bills. You had a chance.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're still having a good year. We went through a cold streak, but
you weathered it.
We're still going to be on the. And I tell you, I've been thinking about it already. Been talking to my friends. I had a conversation with one of my friends who may or may not have a gold jacket yesterday about it. And I was like, you know, Jerome, how do you pick against the Chiefs at this point? Like, you know, I did last week and I paid for it, right? Like, I don't know, but the Eagles look really good. Barkley's like on another planet, and you know, that offensive lineman, which includes a Highland Springs grad,
Mekhi Becton, shout out,
might go down as one of the best offensive lines, certainly of this decade, but maybe, what if Jason Kelce was still on that and hadn't retired last year? So, I think it's going to be a really good Super Bowl. All I'm going to tell you this week is I'm going to be an over guy. I don't know which side yet, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be an over because I think that there's going to be some exciting big plays in this game.
You don't want to be an under guy. Nobody wants to be an under guy. Sometimes you have to, but you don't want to be an under guy. That's not how you want to live your life.
I bet you I'm a less than 5% under guy. Yeah. Usually if I'm feeling under, because you got to watch the whole game when you play the under. You know, when you get the over by halftime, you have another drink. You know what I'm saying?
You'll never catch me being an under guy. I'll sit it out before I go under. Parney time, now on Thursdays, season 2 coming, wherever you get your podcasts, hear them on the weekends here on 910 The Fan. Dude, fired up to see you soon, be watching some baseball very soon, and we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, hey, listen, seriously, don't wait too long till those squirrels tick. It's not just opening night, but somebody told me yesterday the season finale in September, going like hotcakes.
Oh, last game at the Diamond, of course.
And then there's also a game in the middle of the year, I don't know what the date is, where it's I'll tell you that next week. It's like the 1,000th game of the, I don't know what it is, but I'll the 1,000th home game of the Squirrels or something like that. But there's a bunch of milestones during the course of the year that you need to go to the Squirrels website. But don't sleep on opening night. Don't sleep on the season finale, because we'll probably be talking about them being sold out soon.
Friday, April 4th, I'll be at the Diamond. Parney will be at the Diamond. It'll be a lovely time. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch up with you next week.
MP, you're the man. Have fun. Go nuts.
Have fun, go nuts. See you later. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Debbie on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Another half hour with you. We'll get to AWOD Radio, noon to 3, live and local. Hit the listener lines right now. Our guy, George, calling in. George, what's up?
Yes, thank you for letting me come on and have a little bit of a right of reply, as they say, down under to what Zach Joaquin said yesterday, because he did mention me my name, and I thought, well, I just wanted to call in and sort of give my different perspective to this. Zach is right in what he says. What?
Zach was talking about VCU St. Louis. I was just resetting the board. I think you're going to do it perfectly fine, though. So the floor is yours for your response, George.
Oh, I appreciate that. Zach is right in what he says, that the three-pointers weren't the only reason they lost the game, but he's kind of wrong in the philosophy. And I thought it was interesting that you played the clip, or you talked about how Coach Odom said, when he was asked about the three-pointers, he points to the defense. And yes, the defense struggled in the second half. When you give up 50 points and a half, that's terrible. But the offense didn't help them. And here's what I mean. The key sequence of the game, it's 52-51 St. Louis. VCU forces a turnover. Phillip Russell gets the ball. He pulls up and takes a three in transition. It's a brick. The long rebound goes out to St. Louis. They go down and take a three in transition, and they make it. It's 55-51. VCU doesn't lead in the game again. And then there's this. Right after that, Phillip Russell gets fouled right before the under-8 timeout, 7:53 to go. That's the ninth foul on St. Louis. He gets two free throws, he makes them. It's 55-53, and with nearly 8 minutes to go in the game, you've got the double bonus every time you're fouled, unless it's an offensive foul. So, and I know the coaches know this, and I'm pretty sure the players know this. And yet, what did we see the last 8 minutes? Nothing but bad contested shots from the outside. They didn't draw a foul for 5 minutes, and St. Louis got the double bonus before them, even though they only had six fouls on VCU at that point, and you lose the game. And you said something interesting about that at the end. You said, you know, I hope we get St. Louis a third time because they're not going to shoot 16% in a game. Well, you're right. They won't shoot 16% because that's the worst they've shot from three all year. But nine times this year, they've shot under 30% from three. And I'm sorry, but it's the definition of insanity to be 24th in three-point attempts per game, which they are, at least as of yesterday, and 288th in three-point percentage, shooting 31.6% from behind the arc. At this point, 21 games in, it's not a slump, it's not a fluke, it's not, well, we're just having a few bad games. This is a terrible three-point shooting team. And in spite of that, they're really good anyway.
I thought Jack Clark regressed at his shot selection big time in St. Louis. He was doing so much better getting to the hole.
And here's the other point. I follow the Ken Palm efficiency stats you referenced them yesterday. All of January, their offensive efficiency zoomed up the board because they were more selective. They were not taking as many twos and threes, and in some cases they were taking a lot more twos and threes, and they were driving up the Ken Palm stats in offensive efficiency. Well, last week, they went from, on Friday, they were 217th in tempo and 70th in offensive efficiency to 188th, so they went up in tempo pretty large, and they dropped to 79th in offensive efficiency. And their defensive efficiency, which is the thing that Coach Odom pointed to first, stayed exactly the same. Their defensive stats have held up. This team takes care of the ball better than any VCU team I can remember. They're 22nd in turnover margin. VCU! You watched VCU a lot the last few years.
Yep.
Can you ever remember a team that was that good at turnover margin? Because I can't.
That's been the real treat of these young guys, too, George. These young guys are good defensively. He's brought in some talent.
Yes, and that's the other thing. They have two freshmen who are making a serious impact, and unless you're one of these teams that gets the one-and-done super freshmen who are going to the NBA, there ain't a lot of teams in the NCAA that have that. This team is really good, and they're really close. But you do something like what happened against St. Louis in a tournament situation, it's going to get you beat. So you're right. this is not going to happen often, but it's only got to happen once. And we're in Washington this year, and VCU's A-10 tournament record in Washington is not very good. And I don't want to be sitting here in four or five weeks watching this team's fans take off down 95 after another Friday quarterfinal loss, like what happened last time, because we go, 10 for 34 from three, and they lose to Duquesne, or they lose to doggone St. Louis, or to whoever it is in the quarterfinals, because that is the kind of thing that's going to happen here. And all I'm asking, just be a little more selective and adjust a little bit. You're not a good three-point shooting team. We got plenty of prima facie evidence for it. The only time they've lost this year and shot better than 33.3%, one out of three, was St. Bonaventure. And that was one of their better games they played this year at the Bonnies. Unfortunately, they caught the Bonnies at their apex. And as you said the other week, sometimes it's not who you play it. It's not who you play, it's when you play them.
Our guy Awad here is here. Awad, you've been listening to this as well.
Yeah, George, great rant, man. I love the energy and the passion. I mean, you could tell how much you care about VCU Ram Nation. And this has been a good season. And there is absolutely a chance they make the NCAA tournament. And you made some great points about the three-point shooting. I know you've been listening. I like the 30 by 30 club, right? Over 30%, yes. But under 30 attempts. And when they lose, it's more than 30 attempts, like they had the other night against St. Louis. But I got to push back a little bit, because defense is the key. Defense is the key, because as much as they're shooting bad three-point shots and they're not making a good enough percentage for the amount that they shoot, they shoot an insane amount of threes, that's their style. That's the new style of college basketball. That's what Jack Clark was brought in here to do. You have Max Scholga, Joe Bamisil, Philip Russell, Zeb Jackson. Those are all three-point shooters. Like, they're not the best slashers in attacking the basket. That's a part of their game that probably needs to develop, but they can hit an open three. And so you look at this game against St. Louis. They scored enough points to win that game. They didn't defend good enough. They gave up 50 points defensively. And so you can complain about the three-point shooting percentage and the amount of three-point shots, but I'm going to push back that on the defensive end, if they weren't giving up as many layups, as many open looks from the outside, as many free throw attempts, then the amount of points that they scored on offense would have been enough to win the game. So I think, George, it really comes down to defense. The defense needs to step up. There could be a game in the A-10 tournament where they shoot 16% from three. That's probably going to happen one more time this season, but can the defense bail them out by making life difficult for the opposition?
Here's my problem with that. Their defensive stats, which were really good in non-conference, and some people were probably saying was due to the lack of a good schedule, they've held up. They have held up defensively. They're in the top 20 in scoring defense. They're in the top 30 in field goal percentage defense. Their defense has held up. And for what you're talking about against St. Louis, I don't think Ryan Odom used his depth enough. They were tired at the end of that game. They weren't moving their feet. They were reaching. And when you do that, you commit fouls. But not drawing a foul for 5 minutes when you're in the double bonus, that's not anything to do with defense. That's not stressing a defense, driving the ball. And all those guys you named, all of them can put it on the deck and score. We've seen Joe Bamisil. He's a three-level scorer. We've seen Zeb Jackson. Jack Clark, to me, that's what turned his season around, was him driving and not just creating for himself, but creating for other players. He's done great on kicking the ball out.
Right, but George, defense leads to offense, right? And so that's what needs to happen, is they need to get a couple steals to go out and take some layups and dunks, because in their half-court offense, I'm with you. Drive to the basket. It was so frustrating. You're in the double bonus. If you get fouled, go get free throws. But in the half-court offense, the VCU runs, they shoot a lot of threes. So if you want them to get to the basket, they've got to get a defensive stop, and they couldn't do that.
They got 17 turnovers against St. Louis. That should have been enough.
A lot of those were not live ball turnovers, though, right? I mean, they were kind of throwing the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you set up your half-court offense, and you're right. I mean, dude, Coach Odom knows this. He looked right at Zeb Jackson and said, "What the hell are you doing?" when he shot a three.
That's the thing that sort of sparked all this for me, was exactly that moment. That was Zeb, who had otherwise played a really good game and was one of the only people that was making any shots. That was not his best moment. Let's just say that.
Yeah, and when you can't get defensive stops, you start to get antsy on offense and feel like you have to shoot your team back into it.
George, appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in with us. And, yeah, a game they should have won. I think we all agree on that. And debate the particulars. But should have been on top in that game for sure. And need the baskets to set up the defense as well on the other end. Let's do an abbreviated crosstalk since you're sitting here, Adam. This is Crosstalk on the Fan. Adam, AWOD Radio coming up noon to 3 today. What you got cooking?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to the show today. You guys know I am boycotting the NBA, right? I'm refusing to go on the fast break with AWOD, but I've recruited some help. Justin Fensterman will break down the NBA trade rumors today at 2:30. Commanders offseason, and I do want to spend another segment or two talking about the historic season for Jaden Daniels and where it will set the Commanders up in the future.
Let's absorb that. Let's live it. Let's love it. We got a few more days to see you in New Orleans for Bud Light Big Game Week. Talk to you tomorrow for a little more crosstalk. One more segment. We'll bring this thing home. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Thursday
morning, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Stubman in the ones and twos today. Double shift for Stub. We'll be doing AWOD Radio coming up next. Thanks to Adam for dropping by for a little crosstalk. We will be back, of course, tomorrow for the Friday Fun Show. And then Bud Light Big Game Week is next week. Could not be any more excited about that. Should have a ton of fun guests for you. We'll get into some shenanigans because it's New Orleans. I was looking on Wikipedia last night because last year we went to Vegas and I said we got to get somebody Vegas, but there were a million iconic Vegas people.
Carrot Top.
We got Carrot Top. Obviously that was a great pull for us as a station. I think really put us on the map. It's not as easy in New Orleans.
No.
There's a ton of musicians, obviously, but no, like, Kendrick Lamar-level musicians. It's a lot of kind of jazz musicians and maybe niche players. Sandra Bullock is from New Orleans. She was the biggest star on the list.
Seeing Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne's from New Orleans?
That's the quick Google what is popping up for me.
Well,
here,
he was not in the Wikipedia entry, so that's interesting.
Because I'm also seeing Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Tyler Perry.
Ellen DeGeneres is from New Orleans, yes. So that would be a good get. Is Ellen a sports fan? I think is a question here as
I'm
well.
I'm going to guess no.
Okay. Oh, Lil Wayne, man.
DJ Khaled? That'd be a good one. That'd be a great interview.
Hey, why associate him with Miami, though, right?
Mm.
He's kind of...
Yeah.
You are correct, though. All right. I have a number of fascinating Lil Wayne facts. Took a minute and a half to derail this segment, as we traditionally do here. I'm assuming I didn't see him on Wikipedia because he was listed as Dwayne Michael Carter Jr. That does nothing for me. He's Lil Wayne, of course. The Wikipedia page also suggests that you might be here because you're interested in the other Dwayne Carter, the race car driver. And no, I'm not. Lil Wayne has a college degree that is listed on his Wikipedia page. He went to the University of Phoenix. Snuck in some online classes there during his prolific rap career.
I'm seeing the Mannings are from New Orleans. I'm sure other people knew that.
They're super. We will try to get the Mannings.
Yeah.
We will effort to get the Mannings,
maybe,
for sure.
Maybe Arch.
Maybe Cooper. The third brother.
Well, I guess the fourth brother at this point. in importance.
Arch isn't a brother, though.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's true. If you're ranking in Arch is Cooper's kid, you would certainly argue Arch is more famous than Cooper.
Yeah.
Now, full stop. Yeah. I love that Arch is going to Ohio State for the opener next year for his first start. Just, this is the best possible outcome. One, I love that the team that won the Natty in the first year of the playoff format is a team that the fan base actively despises the coach. 10 out of 10. No notes right there, obviously. I love that. So you got Ryan Day at Ohio State. The fans can't stand him because he loses to Michigan. But he's got a Natty. So what can you do? You can't fire him. So he's going to raise the banner in Columbus on the night Arch makes his debut. Ryan Day is going to get booed off the field at his own Natty banner raising after Arch torches him. I love it. College football, still the best. Arch is, I'm going to say, the fourth most famous Manning. I'm going to go Peyton, Eli, Archie, Arch. Is that my youth bias showing? Like, would an old person come in and be like, Archie Manning is the most famous Manning, full stop?
Well, then you're getting me too young, and I'm not that hip to Archie.
Archie is Peyton and Eli's dad. And he played for the Saints. That is how they ended up in New Orleans.
Okay.
Oh, he was a very famous quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Obviously he's great. Different era of football. I'm going to say not as famous as Peyton and Eli. I think Peyton and Eli are transcendent cultural level famous. Archie is football famous. Like, if you get a room of football fans, Archie Manning, they could rattle off some stats for you. But if you get in a room of people who just are living their life in Scott's Edition on a Tuesday night, they all know who Peyton Manning is.
Yeah.
Like, football players who, like, random people could name at trivia night, you know?
Yeah, non-sports friends could get
Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes,
Travis Kelce,
right? They're in that tier. I don't know.
I think Peyton, honestly, might be on the outside looking in my generation of non-sports watchers.
He's in so many commercials, though. Like, at the very minimum...
Sports commercials.
At the very minimum, you recognize him. He's done Saturday Night Live.
One of the best sports... Maybe the best sports SNL host.
Oh, where he's throwing the balls at the little kids? That is an iconic sketch, absolutely. You can sell me that Eli is not in that tier.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he is. I think, obviously, sports fans know who Eli Manning is. I don't think he's broken through. He's kind of the Jason Kelce here. Like, Travis has a brother who also plays football.
I think everyone is aware of Jason that's aware of Travis. I think that's a lot more of a closed Venn diagram than a separated one.
Interesting.
I do. I really do.
Oh. Okay. But not Eli.
Yes.
So now we're in a generational split for sure.
Yeah, probably.
Had you lived through the Peyton and Eli era, your Eli awareness would be higher.
I'm talking to the general public.
Yeah.
To the my mini pals.
No, we did this tour in New Orleans one time when we went down there. It was I think they called it the Garden District. It was the Monument Avenue of New Orleans. All these like super nice houses. And one of the stops on the tour was like Peyton and Eli's childhood home. Like, you're just walking through the neighborhood, it's like, and that's where they lived. All these famous people living on this street. And that's, you know, they're there. They are New Orleans. We will attempt to get the Mannings. I'm now all in on getting Lil Wayne, so that's important. This has been a very productive research.
You could go for Louis Armstrong.
Is he alive or dead? I'm going dead. He's dead, right? Hey, help me out here.
He's been dead for about 50 years.
I was gonna say, I don't think he was considered for the halftime show. I don't think
born
he's
in New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, iconic New Orleans musician. You have so many great jazz musicians from New Orleans. Yeah, I'm sure we'll go see jazz music at some point during Bud Light Big Game Week. We'll go see the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. We'll do all the things. Like, I love live music, so we're gonna see some jazz. I don't think if you were to say who's the most famous like jazz musician from New Orleans, probably Trombone Shorty. I don't like. Has he broken through to the public? I don't think so.
Like currently alive?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we have general awareness there. So New Orleans guests, we're going to get Sandra Bullock, the Mannings, all of them. We're going to get all five relevant Mannings together. We're going to need to bring more headsets down to New Orleans. And we're going to get Lil Wayne. So it's a big week already. But like big game week just became a little bit bigger. And of course, all the Commanders guests, all the fun that we traditionally have, because we have some fun when we're down there. It's a good time. We'll eat some good food. We'll tell you about it. So that's next Monday. We still got the Friday show first, though. 3 hours of AWOD radio coming up live and local. And, of course, Grant and Danny will drive you home. If you missed anything today, grab the podcast, MP on the Mic, available on all podcast platforms. Just search MP on the Mic. Like, subscribe, download, do all the things you do. We're back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.